Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
We want to talk about being thankful this morning, and at this point in time, you know, it's so easy, like I said last week, to focus on the negative, but we can look at some amazing things that we can be thankful for all the time. So I really had it on my heart to talk about thankfulness. A couple of days ago, I just put a simple phrase on Facebook, which was, "Today I am thankful for," and I was so encouraged by all the comments that came in. Being thankful, it's a definition of it is gratitude, thankfulness, gratefulness, or appreciation is a feeling or attitude in acknowledgement of a benefit that one has received or will receive. We sort of understand, I think, intrinsically in our lives what being thankful is, right from when we were little kids. When someone gave us something, our parents would normally say, "Simon, say thank you," or something like that. And we learned to express our gratefulness. So I think thankfulness is like the activation or the active ingredient to grateful. We can be grateful but never verbalize that. But thankfulness is actually verbalizing and putting expression to the gratefulness that we already feel. So I want to share just three simple things about thankfulness this morning, and then give us some practical tips. So the first one is, thankfulness is a byproduct of a close relationship with God. Thankfulness is a byproduct of a close relationship with God. The closer we are to God, the more thankful we will be. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So as we allow our roots to grow down deep into God, as we really nourish and value that relationship with Jesus, as we get closer to him, thankfulness will just be a natural byproduct of our life. It says, then we grow our roots deep into God, then our faith will grow strong, and we will overflow with thankfulness. It is cause and effect. I'm going to start with this, and I'm going to finish with it at the end of this message. How do we really cultivate and value thankfulness and express that in our lives day to day? Simply get close to Jesus. You become like those you hang out with the most. And Jesus is absolutely thankful. It's one of his characters. And I really love the spiritual maturity of people that I know. It's like they can be going through an incredible storm in life, but they are still joy-filled. They love God. They love life. They are so thankful. For me, I struggle with that sometimes. I wear my heart on my sleeve. So when I'm having a good day, everyone around me knows it. When I'm having a really bad day, everyone knows about that as well. Comes out when we're playing board games as a family. We've been doing a lot of that lately, especially that game Catan that everyone loves. It gets me so frustrated. I really believe that game was invented so that it could create conflict and an otherwise happy life or a happy family. But so when I'm winning, I'm all happy. When I'm losing, man, everyone knows about that. But there is a maturity in a lot of people. They have Jesus so much in their lives. They are so close to Jesus that they may be going through incredible turmoil, but we don't know it because they've got such a sweet spirit about them and they're close to Jesus and they are always thankful. Thankfulness is a byproduct of a close relationship with God. The closer we are to God, the more thankful we will be. Second point, it is possible to be thankful in every situation or situation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18 says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." A lot of people struggle with the question, what is God's will for my life? Well, this is a big part of it. Be thankful in all situations, in all circumstances. It says, be thankful. God wouldn't say be thankful if it was impossible to be thankful in all circumstances. God wouldn't say it if it wasn't possible, but it is possible. But with this verse, we got to realize one small word, but it's a very, very important word. It says, be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. It says be thankful in all circumstances. We don't have to be thankful for the circumstance or for the storm or for the sickness or for the trial or for COVID-19, but God still teaches us to be thankful in the midst of all of these trials. And I love the Passion Translation, which says it this way: and in the midst of everything, always be giving thanks. So we don't need to thank God for the dumb thing that's happening, but we can thank God even in the midst of the dumb thing happening. Matthew Henry, he is an incredible Bible scholar. He wrote Matthew Henry's commentary. It's just an incredible scholarly work of the Bible, and it's a very, very amazing book. He wrote this back in the 1600s, and he wrote this in his journal when he was robbed. So he was robbed one day, and he wrote this that evening. Let me be thankful first, because I have never been robbed before today. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. I guess purse was like old English for a wallet, so he wasn't being weird or anything. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Thirdly, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. So Matthew Henry was robbed. We don't know how violent the robbery was, but he was still able to thank God, not for the situation, but in the situation. And I think that's an incredible point. It is possible to be thankful in every circumstance or situation, not for it, but in it, in the midst of it. So first point, thankfulness is a byproduct of a close relationship with God. Secondly, it's possible to be thankful in every circumstance or situation. Third point, there is always something to be thankful for. I was sharing last week that it's just human nature for us to naturally gravitate towards the negative, to the depressing. It's just like we are, as human beings, zoned into that. But as we give our lives to Jesus, as we become new creations, we don't have to be slaves to our old sinful nature anymore. We don't have to succumb to all the negativity and depression around us. There is always something to be thankful for, even in really, really trying days. There is always something we can thank God for. I just want to read from Psalm 107, verses 1 to 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you or rescued you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east, west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Out of those 9 verses, I really do believe there are 10 things, if we look for them, that we can always thank God for. Even if your day's been really, really bad and you just want to go to sleep because you just want the day to end and you forget about the day, even in those days, there are always at least 10 things that we can thank God for in any situation if we think about it. So just based on these verses, first of all, in verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Number one, God is good. We can always thank God. His character doesn't change. He is good. It says he is faithful. His faithful love endures forever. So number one, God's good. Number two, he's faithful, even though we can't understand sometimes why things are happening. He's always faithful. Verse 2, has the Lord redeemed you or rescued you? Then speak out. Tell others that he has redeemed you. God has saved us. For those of us that have given our lives to Jesus, remember the joy of salvation when we first met Jesus. We had an encounter with him. We gave our lives to him, and all that guilt and the weight and the burden and all that regret just got washed away, and we knew that we were saved. God made us into new creations. He's saved us even in an incredible storm. We can remember those times. He's good. He's faithful. He saved us. Verse 3, for he has gathered the exiles from many lands. He has gathered us together as his church, as a community of people that it says in another place in the Word of God that for the orphans he puts into, or the lonely he puts into families. He's gathered us together as his church, and that is so incredible. We can't meet physically at this point in time, but we're still meeting like we are today. We're making the best of it, and I think really during this time the church is growing. I think one point though, when everything gets back to normal and we can meet together again, let's not neglect the real physical gathering together of the saints. I think the temptation may be to do church online at home now. I don't have to be a part of the community. People will miss out if you aren't a part of a community. And I just can't wait to that time where we get to meet. And this is coming from me, which is pretty crazy. I'm quite introverted, that we can meet in a group, in a big, large gathering again and celebrate the goodness of God. I just can't wait for that day. And it's coming. He's good. He's faithful. He saved us. He's gathered us together. In verse 4, it says, some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. They nearly died. Lord, help! They cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. God always hears our prayers. It's something else that we can thank him for, and he is our rescuer. They cried to the Lord for help, and he was right there. Verse 7, he led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Another thing we can thank God for in every situation, we are safe and secure in him. Verse 8, let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. God's love is great. He loves us and he's done wonderful things for us already. During a hard time, it's easy to lose focus of our history with God and all the amazing things he's done for us in the past. Now's the time to thank him for all those things that he's done for us already. Verse 9, he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. He wants to bless us with good things. So in any circumstance, just based on these 9 verses, we can thank God for at least 10 things always. He's good. He's faithful. He's saved us. He's gathered us together. He hears our prayers. He's our rescuer. We are safe and secure in him. His love is great. He's done wonderful things for us already. And he wants to bless us with good things. 10 things we can always thank God for. I think that is pretty awesome. Thankfulness is a byproduct of a close relationship with God. It's possible to be thankful in every circumstance or situation. Remember, it's not for the situation, it's in the situation. And 3, there is always something to be thankful for. Just some practical things now to do that we can cultivate thankfulness. Number 1, make praise a feature in your life. Like I said at the start, we can be grateful for something, but thankfulness is actually the act of expressing that, of verbalizing that. And praise is simply when we verbalize our thanks to God and we have a tune or a melody as a part of it. So number 1, make praise a feature of our life. Thankfulness is an active response to gratefulness. In Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and praise his name. The writer of the psalm was using the imagery of the temple of God, where the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant was, and the presence of God. That's where the presence of God literally was. And back in those days, you couldn't really get super close to the presence of God. Only the priests could do that. So the everyday person really couldn't do that. But this verse is sort of giving us the understanding. How do we get close to God? How do we enter into his presence? How can we enjoy closeness and communion with God? First of all, we go into his gates and his courts with thanksgiving and with praise. Praise is an incredible part of our relationship with God. So make praise a feature in your life, not just something you do when you go to church, but do it as a regular part of your private life as well. Number 2, keep an eye on your attitude gauge. A few years ago, I got into flight simulators, and especially, I think it was Microsoft Combat Flight Simulator 3. I loved that game, and you sort of had all the gauges there. And there's the altitude. It shows you where how high you are above the ground, but there's also the horizon gauge, which was, we probably all know, it's like a sort of a representation or a symbol of the plane, and then it's got the horizon. So if your nose of the plane is going down, then the horizon is up here. If your nose is going up on the plane, then you can see because the horizon is lower. That gauge is called the attitude gauge. The attitude of an airplane determines its nose position. So if you have a nose up attitude, you are climbing. If you have a nose down attitude, you are descending. The attitude of the plane determines whether it's going up or diving down. The attitude determines the altitude. Our attitude really does determine our altitude. Last week I talked about focus. Where is our focus during a storm? Is it on the storm or is it on Jesus? When it is on Jesus, when we're looking up, we can rise above the storm. If we are looking down, we are going to sink. So keep an eye on your attitude gauge. How is your thankfulness? How is your gratefulness? It is so easy to get burdened down by everything, especially when you're reading the news during this time and all the negativity that's around. Let's please keep an eye on our attitude gauge. Keep looking up to Jesus. Don't keep looking down. If you keep looking down, eventually you are going to crash and burn. So make praise a feature in your life. Number two, keep an eye on your attitude gauge. Keep looking to Jesus. He's right there. And number three, think of at least two things each day you can thank God for. And a lot of secular psychologists, they actually use this to rewire people's thinking that have been very negative, so that they can start to be a bit more positive. But I really believe it's been a part of our relationship with Jesus all the time. Just maintain that thankful, grateful attitude to God. But instead of just thinking it, let's just do something a little bit more. Let's put our gratitude into practice, whether it's verbalizing it to someone else or just speaking it out to praise as praise to God, or writing it in a gratitude journal, or just what. Let's start to think and actively, proactively do something about this, and it really does change our focus. Think of two things each day you can thank God for at least, and write them down. And again, I loved when I just shared that on Facebook today, I'm thankful for, and so many people, I think it was up to 80 or 90 people, responded some amazing things. Again, it's just, where are we focusing on? I remember last year, Christy and I, we just had one of those weeks that you just want to have amnesia for that week and just forget all about it. Close friends of ours, they had experienced two deaths very close together in their family, and there was a whole lot of crazy stuff going around that we were trying to deal with at the same time. You know, we have some of those days where it's like, and I remember talking with Christy about it, you know, what can we be thankful for today? And we really had a hard time thinking about that. I remember Christy told me the only thing she could write down that day was, I thank God that no one died today. So I realize that's scraping the bottom of the barrel a little bit, but at least that was something we could thank God for in one of the terrible days that we all experience as human beings. So start writing these things down. It really will change your perspective, and then you'll look back over what you've written and just understand that there's always something to be thankful for. And lastly, cultivate your relationship with God. Remember at the start of this message, I said thanksgiving is an indicator of our depth in God. We do become like those we hang out with the most. And we just need to hang out with Jesus and be close to Him. Stay close, get close to God and stay close to God. So in conclusion, I just want to read Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Jesus traveled on towards Jerusalem and passed through the border region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one village, 10 men approached him, but they kept their distance, for they were lepers. Leprosy in the culture of the time, it described a whole lot of different skin conditions, but they were culturally, in the culture of the day, unclean. So they couldn't come close to anyone if they had skin conditions. I guess they were in sort of quarantine in a way. They shouted to him, "Mighty Lord, our wonderful Master, why don't you have mercy? Won't you have mercy on us and heal us?" When Jesus stopped to look at them, he spoke these words, "Go to be examined by the Jewish priests." They set off, and they were healed while walking along the way. One of them, a foreigner from Samaria, so the Samaritans and the Jewish people, they didn't get on at all. One of them, a foreigner from Samaria, when he discovered that he was completely healed, he turned back to find Jesus. Nine of them were healed, and they just didn't bother thanking Jesus, but this one turned back to find Jesus, shouting out joyous praises and glorifying God. When he found Jesus, he fell down at his feet and thanked him over and over. So he was expressing his gratitude, saying to him, "You are the Messiah." This man was a Samaritan. This is what Jesus says. "So where are the other nine? Weren't there 10 who were healed? They all refused to return to give thanks and give glory to God except you, a foreigner from Samaria." Then Jesus said to the healed man lying at his feet, "Arise and go. It was your faith that brought you salvation and healing." See, these other nine guys, they were healed, but their focus was just such on the physical and on the temporal. They weren't thinking of eternal things at all. But this one guy, he turned back to Jesus. He understood that everything happened to him, his healing was because of Jesus. He made Jesus the Lord of his life. He bowed down before him. He was thanking him over and over. He was praising him. And Jesus says these amazing words. "It was your faith that brought you not just healing." All the other guys, they had a physical healing, but for this guy, it wasn't just a physical healing. It was healing and salvation. It wasn't just the physical breakthrough or the blessing. It was the eternal breakthrough and the blessing as well. Nine lepers, they found healing, but they didn't find salvation. They weren't even that thankful about it because their eyes were just so on the physical, about what they got, and not really on the eternal things at all, not on Jesus. It was all about what they could get. But this one guy, he found not just physical healing, but spiritual healing as well. Eternal healing. He was saved. Not just his body, but his soul. The others, they were healed in their bodies, but not in their souls. This guy was healed spirit, soul, and body. And that's the challenge I want to leave with you. Is how's our soul? In the middle of the crazy times that we're in, it's very easy to focus on the temporal, and we can thank God for all the stuff that we have and the blessings he gives us. But what about the eternal? Because all of this is going to pass away one day, but our souls are never going to pass away. Our souls are eternal. So it's worth thinking right now, wherever you are, you may be saved, you may not be saved, you may be close to Jesus, you may be very far away from him. How is our soul? It's easy to focus on the physical things, like I said, in this time. But how is our soul? How are we with Jesus? Where will we spend eternity with him? And the amazing thing is, Jesus is so ready and so willing to give us himself as a gift, to give us the gift of eternal life. We just have to receive it by faith. It's like gifts. I love receiving gifts. Birthdays and Christmases are usually my two favorite days of the year. So someone gives me a gift, to receive that gift and to really be blessed by that gift and to appreciate the contents of that gift, I've got to actually reach out and receive it and make that gift mine and then unwrap it. If I just like do this to someone who's giving me a gift, it's like, yeah, thanks for the gift, but I never do anything about it, I'm never going to experience the contents of that gift, the contents of that box. It's exactly the same with the free gift of salvation that Jesus is presenting to us. We have got to reach out by faith and accept it. Make Jesus our own Savior, our own Lord. And the cool thing is, he is so ready to do that right now. A lot of people think we have to have everything together before we give our lives to Jesus. That's so wrong, because we can't get things ready really together without Jesus' help in our lives.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.